Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I am drinking an 18-year-old Glenlivet. What are you drinking today?
Whatever it is
you're drinking, I'm assuming it's warm.
Hey, you know, I was warm and out of my house over all of that bullshit. No, I am drinking that Fetzer Moscato, or at least I will when I pop the cork on it. I was actually in the middle of a Star Wars raid when the power went out, so I'm actually online apologizing to everyone for, you know, just ditching out because it was literally the last boss.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, so that's why I'm just like,
Should I have waited to hit record until you were done socializing with your Star Wars pals?
Whatever. I can do both.
It was fine. I was in the middle of working on some models again and watching season 3 of Star Trek The Next Generation, which should be known as the season where you find out that Geordi LaForge is just kind of a creepy holodeck stalker. you watch those episodes with him and the holodeck girl, and you're just like, you know, something tells me that every time you see Geordi LaForge look at somebody, and again, you can't see his eyes, and maybe that's what's creepy about it. But every time he looks at somebody with that look of like, ooh, you just know he has a holodeck program saved of like fucking Deanna Troi dressed like Emma Frost putting an anal plug in Beverly Crusher's ass. Like, that's all you think of.
I was going to say, isn't that also Riker's personal holodeck?
Well, I mean, Riker wrote it. But again, Riker can get actual tail, so that's not so much of an issue. Who hasn't Riker fucked is what it really comes down to. He doesn't need the holodeck. Geordi LaForge, however, is a creepy holodeck stalker. So, yeah, that's where that stands. But, yeah, so this week in Hobby, I played a game of Firestorm Armada with my Terrans. It was, I'll say, the first game I played with my Terrans. I have played one more with them, but it was very starter game-ish, and then I, you know, was not really...
Also known as Lang lost so bad it doesn't count as much.
Oh, no. I played against Kyle and Scott, and I was just showing them the rules, and we didn't even get a chance to finish.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Why I say that. No, I don't lose.
That's what she said.
Yes. And but really, it was good. I crushed my opponent, and I played at 1250, which was kind of the big question mark. So the first game that I've played so far at 1250, it does not seem to really extend the game time all that much. We finished very early because I kind of trounced them very quickly, but I think so far 1250 is looking good for the next Storm tournament I run.
Really? Because my question was going to be is how much does that 250 points really change your list? Because it's not really adjusting your percentages by a noticeable amount, you know, because I mean, I find that unlike in fantasy, where with all of your magic items, you can fucking gear to that line and you get 10 more points, that's another item.
Well,
Firestorm is never that. So I'm just wondering, it's just like,
it doesn't.
What does the 250 points really do other than add in like another squadron of 3 medium ships?
Well, it's actually quite a bit more than that. Because I mean, you do have a few options, right? And basically, well, to answer your first question, it will allow you to take allies more comfortably, and it will allow you to take dreadnoughts a little bit more comfortably. The reason why that is because at 250 points, like a normal 60 or 65 point squad of 3 or 4 cruisers, you can fit in, right? So you can fit in another 4-man cruiser squadron. You can fit in another 3-man cruiser squadron and an additional squad of frigates.
Mm-hmm.
You can fit in escorts. And usually that's what you're looking for to actually fit a contingent of allies into your list. What it also allows you to do is it allows you to take capital ships in the right quantities, as opposed to just having something like one dreadnought, but I don't have enough to take a battleship, I don't have enough to take a carrier, so I have to make up everything else. But at the same time, it's not enough to like double down on dreadnoughts or double down on heavy cruisers, right? In the points side of things, when you start looking at that 70%, instead of looking at a list and saying, well, I have to kill everything with the exception of the dreadnought, now you're looking at the dreadnought going like, well, actually, that's a big chunk of what I need to hit my target. You know, that might actually be good as a primary target. So, because it's, you know, as opposed to 700 points, it's 875 points or something like that for that breaking point. So it's just, it's not as clear cut when it comes to like, oh, I should just kill all the small shit. Or, you know, kill the small shit and half of the dreadnought to get half the points, right? Like, those are kind of the things that it comes down to. And it's also preparing for Leviathans, because we know that when Leviathans come around, and as more ships are being released, there's a certain limit that you have to add in on top of it. Also, 1,000 points would not allow you to take an Omnidyne dreadnought, and we know there's going to be more big, expensive stuff coming out. So it's just, it's looking at the game, where it's going, and looking at kind of what people want to be playing with and what they want to build with, and raising the points level to accommodate that. The question was, is it going to take up a large amount more time to play through a game? And in this one game, at least, it really did not seem like it was any slower than it normally would have been.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's kind of where that lands. But, you know, that's not quite as interesting as Jordy LaForge's holodeck programs.
It is true, because, you know, that's just a fucking black hole of, like, dirtiness that we could really get into.
Is it a black hole because he's black, Nathan? You're so, so terribly racist.
Well, obviously.
Very true. But yes, I painted a Terrakion, one of my Terrakion cruisers. I do very much like the paint job I did on that. I got another frigate done, test painted. I like the test paint for it. So it's on the right track right now. I should be able to get it going. But I can tell you right now, the list I played last night is substantially bigger than my directorate list. Like, it is a very large list, a lot of units on the table, because I'm not taking any heavy cruisers. I'm not taking a dreadnought. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any specialty cruisers other than my shield cruisers. Like, it's a huge list. I was playing against Maddie, against his RSN, and like, I outnumbered him almost 2-1. Like, it was insane how many ships I had on the table. So I think, again, that is, I'm allowed to do that because of the fact that I'm able to take these ships and do these things comfortably. And it's not even just an issue of the 250 points, right? But it, you know, when you put a list together and you come out to about 800 and you're wondering what to do with those last 250, you can't go look at allies and just be like, well, I guess I'll take three, you know, RSN cruisers. Why not? You'd rather stick with what you have, because what if you stick with your own fleet, you get five cards from the deck instead of four, right? So if you take allies, you're only going to get four cards. So it's like, well, that's not necessarily a good thing for me to do, so I'm going to stick within my own fleet. Hopefully this promotes people using the allied fleets, using the pirate fleets, all sorts of stuff like that. So, yeah, that's that anyways. What were you working on this week?
Not much. Just, again, lists. Building. Lists a lot. This week has been a little bit difficult for me to be motivated, since it is my first week back at work.
Right.
So, I did try. I spent one morning painting a little bit, but I didn't really make any substantial progress on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I now know that I need to pick up some models for the tournament I'm going to at the end of the month.
Right up. All right. So, obviously, for this week's show, we are going to be talking about the Dark Angels Codex recently released. This is going to be part one of our two-part review of the Codex. We're just going to be going through the motions, talking about the units, talking about kind of what we've seen changed, things that are having us excited. We're not going to get into a whole lot of tactical list building and strategizing. That will come in the next episode. But we will pretty much give you a top-to-bottom review of our Codex and our overall feelings on it. But to get this started, with our Model of the Week segment, when we're doing these two-part reviews, what we're going to be talking about are the best and worst models released with this Codex release. So for this week's episode, we're going to be talking about what we feel is the best model released, and it's kind of more of a model kit that's been released, but you and I were both very impressed with it. There were a couple models that stood out that we were like, I'm kind of okay with that, I'm kind of okay with this. But this was the one we definitely both agreed on, and it is the Ravenwing Champion with Blade of Caliban. This is essentially the Ravenwing, the new Ravenwing bike kit. I think it just looks really good, even though it's kind of silly with wings. The whole book is. We're going to be joking about this all throughout the episode, so just fucking get used to it. But really, it's ridiculous the number of wings on this thing. But I think they did a very, very good job modeling the cloak that the guy's wearing. I like that they changed the colors. I like that, they've actually given the bike a little bit more depth as opposed to having it just look like this weird, blocky, stupid thing. So you can kind of get, it still has the old design, but you can kind of get lost in that old design because of the fact that there's all this extra stuff going around on it. I don't think it needed a cathedral on the back, but I think it does look very cool, and especially the rider. I think they did a great job on him making that helmet look Raven-like as opposed to just a beaky helmet, right?
Look, just because you don't think you needed a cathedral, like, he was packing, he was getting ready for it, and he was just like, do I need a cathedral? I mean, can I buy one where we're going? You know, I've got my passport, I'm ready. You know, and I'm just going to bring it because you never know when you need to just stop and pray. So... go for it. At that end, mobile cathedrals seems to be the second theme, along with wings, in this entire book.
Absolutely is the second theme. But
I do agree with you. Kind of moving back to, but before we get off topic a little bit, we're going to. When you look at this model, and realistically, the whole kit, the Ravenwing Command kit, because it is what allows you to take the dope Ravenwing bikes with all the plasma. It's what lets you build your command with your apothecary and your standard bearer and all of these different things. And what I thought was really, really, really nice about this kit is it kept the aesthetic of the old plastic Ravenwing bikes, which have always had the wing handlebar shield.
Yep.
Things.
Yep.
But then, like I said, it's adding on in not a stupid way. I mean, it's not like the new Deathwing Knights there where they're just like, all right, now that you got your armor on, let's tie on your apron. We're gonna cook. I mean, you know, we joked about the librarian with the Kiss the Cook in the Dark Vengeance, but Jesus Christ, they made a whole squad of termites that do the same thing.
It just, you know, like there's the guys without the hoods and it just looks like an apron. And as soon as they put the hood on, it's just a hoodie. And I just, all I can think about is like, no, paint the bottom of the robe a different color and just paint the top like blue and the hood. It totally make it look like he's just wearing a hoodie with like a towel coming out the front of his pants. But yes,
totally.
I thought that they did a good job with this model. I don't think it's overly busy, but I think it has enough, you know, flair to really make it stand out in a squad. I think for something that's not a character, that's right where you want it to be. And I think that's a good modeling job on Games Workshop's part. I think the only thing for me that is interesting is if you look at the wings on these bikes with Blade of Caliban and stuff like that, it's the ones that we've seen, the wings we've seen before. And then you go one page over at the top, and these wings are now completely different. So what's the difference between the two? Am I just ignorant? Is there a specific difference between these wings and those wings in terms of, like, these wings means you're playing a different bike squad?
I think that they might be going for it. Honestly, I think that the one on the top of the next page is the old bike kit, and all they did was add on the metallic border. And I mean by, like, they sculpted on as well.
The wing-a-ling and the wing-a-ling thing at the back.
Yeah.
All the wing-a-lings.
Yes.
All right, so... before we actually start getting into the page one to the end page type review of this book, just as we normally do, Nathan, what's your overall impression of this book? Without giving anything away or going too specific, how do you feel about it right now?
All right, I have two overall impressions. The first being that it is a completely unnecessary codex. With that, what I mean is 90% of this, and this is my same opinion towards the Blood Angels Codex, 90% of it is you are able to accomplish using the current Vanilla Space Marine Codex.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason and that reason alone, like I said, it is very redundant. It's an unnecessary book. It's taking up a release slot from someone that actually needs a release. With that being said, and I know this is going to sound really kind of flip-floppy, I think it is a better Vanilla Marine Codex than the Vanilla Marine Codex.
Ah, fuck you. That was mine. You son of a bitch. I was just like, oh, I'm going to trump that shit. No, because I agree with that 100%. When I was reading through this, I was like, you know what? This is great. I don't see why anyone would use Marines at this point. Like, I don't see why anyone would play a Marine list. If you're currently playing Marines, my recommendation is that you buy the Dark Angels Codex and you use it until the Vanilla Marines Codex comes out. Because there's some very clear direction things that we're getting out of the Dark Angels book that we know for a fact we are going to see in the vanilla Marines. The Narthecium, for example. We know that that's something that we're going to see now change the way that Marines are played in close combat, right?
See, I didn't even read it because when I was going through the...
didn't you?
Well, no, because anything that is basic Marine, I didn't read it. I didn't assume they
changed
it.
I read it for changes. I went through it and I was like, oh, snap. Here,
that's no different.
For 15 points, you can take a Narthecium for your Apothecary. Now, Apothecaries are pretty much pointless, right? Right?
No, because they do the same thing.
Well, okay, but anyways. what do you mean?
Apothecaries with their Narthecium or whatever it is in the Vanilla Marine Codex grant feel no pain. So like I said, it's
cheaper, but you can also take it on the command bike squad now. So you can have a bike squad with you.
Oh yeah. See, again, for that, I mean, like with Space Marines, you can only ever get one in your regular command squad. The fact that Dark Angels can take Terminator command squads and bike command squads definitely gives it way more utility. Mm-hmm. And let's not even talk about the phenomenal sacred standards that they have, which are, again, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, yeah, like I totally see that, but no, like I said, it's one of those things where it's just like, I think it is a more focused, it's a better book than the Vanilla Marine Codex, unless you are playing a special character out of the Vanilla Marine Codex.
In which case,
play whatever army. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Play Dark Angels instead.
Exactly. And I think that that's what it comes down to. The issue here is that what we're getting, even though it is redundant, yes, at the moment, you know, it's actually going to be used. At the moment, it's not redundant purely for the fact that people are going to want to use this book. I mean, if you are playing Vanilla Marines, there's nothing stopping you from just using this book and being very happy with the choice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and they shall know no fear as opposed to Grim Resolve and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you're getting a shit ton of fearless stuff out of this book. And you still have No Fear with Grim Resolve for basically no points.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, it's free upgrades, and you have access to everything you had access to before with no drawbacks. That was the thing that I wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. There are no drawbacks to this book. And that's part of why it frustrates me. There used to be this idea that if we're going to make Space Marines better, we also have to make them worse in a certain way. And we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go on and on about it. But really, what it comes down to is there's no reason not to take this book over Vanilla Marines. There's absolutely no reason. Why would you ever pay the same points for the exact same unit that just doesn't have a special rule that's helpful to you?
See, what you're missing is you're not paying the same points. A Dark Angels Tactical Marine is 2 points cheaper for identical war gear. He's trading combat tactics for Grim Resolve. 14 points of Marine instead of 16. It's 2 points cheaper for your basic tactical Marine. You are still getting
at 14 points apiece.
Yeah, they're 14 instead of 16, which instead Vanilla 16, Marines
right.
are.
Yeah, you're right.
However, with that being said, looking at it, you are buying your heavy weapons, but it's still going to come out a little bit cheaper. A heavy bolter is 10 points versus free, mm-hmm. but if I take a 10-man squad, I save 20 points.
So combat tactics being...
Combat tactics was the ability that no one ever took because they always took special characters. But what it was anytime you were called upon to take a morale check, you could choose to automatically fail it.
But Grim Resolve allows you to do that.
Well, Grim Resolve makes you stubborn. So it just means you're going to run less.
Flip. We're skipping.
Can you hear us both?
We're skipping way ahead. In addition, a unit containing at least one model with Grim Resolve rule can never choose to automatically fail. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, can never choose. So, that's what you're swapping it for.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. But even then, when you play Vanilla Marines, combat tactics is the special rule that you trade for everything. If you take a Vulcan Hestan list, you trade combat tactics mm-hmm. for the ability to twin link all of your Meltzers and Flamers.
Mm-hmm.
If you play a Shrike list, you're trading combat tactics for, I think, Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just like, it's one of those abilities that no one really takes.
Right.
Anyway, only a pure Vanilla Marine Codex uses it. And that's why, again, if you're going to do that, why not be stubborn? I mean, sure, It can be useful, and I've had it used with great effect against me. But I mean, you've got cheaper guys, you've got better unit options, you've got the ability to make Terminators troops, you have better Terminators. Like, it's just like across the board. Why would you play vanilla Marines unless you are specifically taking that one chapter? You know,
right. And again, you still have, and they shall know no fear. So I mean, it's, you know, it's not like it's you're out in the cold or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, your money winner is still there. It's still your money winner.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I think, you know, when it comes down to the book as a whole, like I said, there really aren't much in the way of drawbacks. Obviously, I was wrong about that, that, you know, viewpoint. But for the most part, it still hasn't really changed.
Yeah. Well, no, I think, like you said, there are no drawbacks. That has not changed.
I think my issue is going to be with the flyers primarily, but I don't think that that's the list you're going to be aiming to play. But we do see some very interesting things here that are going to essentially give us the direction that we're going to see for the vanilla Space Marines and every Space Marine codex that comes out in the future. But anyways, so we've got a full color hardback codex.
Beautiful.
Again, absolutely. With the glossy, the cover art is very nice. Nobody looks retarded. I have to laugh, though, because I actually said to a buddy of mine, I was just like, where's all of his wings, man? You can't just have a Marine on the cover looking like a badass and he doesn't have 12 sets of wings coming off of him at one point or another. He's got stakes in his back, for fuck's sake. And they're just like, oh, but he looks so cool. I'm like, yeah, but have you seen the model in this army? There's no model that looks like that in this army.
No, and it is a shame because, again, that guy looks pretty fucking pimp.
Exactly, right? But you sit there and you look at it, you're just like, well, why doesn't he have, like, a big wingling helmet and, like, four wingelings coming off of his back and wingelings everywhere? And it's just like, oh, no, they actually wanted them to look not fucking retarded. $60 Canadian. You know, I read through the majority of the story, primarily the pre-heresy stuff, just to kind of see if anything dramatic had changed. I think the only thing that they really changed was the fluff regarding the Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Before, the Fallen were kind of more of a, did they fall? Did they not really fall? Like, what happened? What was going on? Like, are they Chaos? And they've kind of now added it in saying like, oh no, they were whispered to by Chaos. They did fall to Chaos. You know, some of them come back and they're possessed by demons and blah, blah, blah. So they really have given them a little bit more of the, this is actually their villainous side of the order. And again, even that whole aspect of their fluff is in question, according to Angels of Darkness, you know, all those years back, you know, and even their Primarch, right? But according to the fluff, their Primarch was stalwart and supported the Emperor to the end and all those different types of things. So, I mean, it is very much kind of what you saw before for the Dark Angels fluff, with a couple of odd changes, a little bit of extra information, but not really anything dramatic.
Yeah.
But the fluff is good. It's worth reading. I think the author of this particular book did a pretty good job on the fluff side of things. I already forget his name. It's Jeremy
Vitok.
Yep, Jeremy Vitok. I think the fluff is good. I think that the way that it's laid out is good. It works out well. And I think, especially with so many different aspects to cover, when you start talking about the Raven Wing and the Death Wing and the various companies and stuff like that, it's a lot of stories and fluff to go into. As with any codex we've seen so far from 40K for anything remotely Marines, meaning the Chaos one, they do have a section where they talk about successor chapters and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Fluff, 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 fluff. You end up getting about 25 pages of fluff, which is pretty okay. So we actually then get into the rules and the special rules for the army. Nathan, how do you feel about this?
I think their warlord traits are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think part of that is because I feel that the rulebook warlord traits are so pathetic that when you get something like this, which, while not as good as the Chaos Space Marine ones, because I felt that with the Chaos Space Marine ones, you were happy with anything you got. Here it's just like four are outstanding, one is good, one is all right.
Well, I think really, you know, and we had kind of talked about this when we saw the Chaos Space Marine and we saw the Necron and all that kind of stuff. Or not even the Necron, because the Necrons didn't have one. But we, you know, we talked about this in the Chaos Space Marine Codex where we said, you know, we're going to expect to see a Warlord traits table for every list. And really,
yes,
the ones in the rulebook are just the default should you decide to not like the ones that you currently have,
Mm-hmm.
or the placeholder for everyone until they each have their own codex with their own warlord traits. Because it was the same for Chaos. Any one of them was good. What is nice about this is there are special characters that allow you to pick your warlord trait. That is a very, very cool thing.
Well, I was going to say, wasn't it only Azrael that chooses it, and everyone else is just like,
It defaults to this or it defaults to that.
yeah, Azrael loves it. And what pisses me off about Azrael is that, you know, if you're looking at his unit entry, that piece of artwork for him is brilliant. I would love to buy that model to paint because it's so awesome. And then you look at the like 25-year-old Azrael model, and you're just like, really? Because I remember a friend of mine picked him up because he was so cool back when I got into the hobby in 98. And he was an existing model back then. And you're just like, you know, he really hasn't aged that well. So that's why I'm just like, it's just such a shame because I love it. But no, I mean, the whole assigning warlord traits based on who you are, Chaos did the exact same thing, right? So I mean,
We called
I
it.
like it. Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. And when you were talking about it again, I just have to agree. The ones in the rule book are meant to be as fucking poor as it is, because it's your holdover until everyone gets a codex revision with their own really great warlord traits table.
Exactly. So,
Because, you know, again, when it comes to the main rule book traits, like with my Tyranids, most games I forget to roll because who cares? There's nothing I'm fishing for.
See, I've gotten one that I've liked once or twice, so I never felt as angry toward them as you did. I was always kind of like, oh, okay, cool. And like most of the games, yeah, I just said
What, you
F.
mean like the three games in a row where your Necron warlord trait got Furious Charge?
Yes, but
You know, that's awesome. I
I
mean,
did use it to
dude.
kill a hive tyrant, kind of.
After he'd had three wounds shot off
After, yes, he had already had 3 wounds shot off him. But anyways, so we're also left with two other special rules, which is Grim Resolve and Inner Circle. Grim Resolve, we kind of already talked about there. It makes you stubborn, and you can never choose to automatically fail a leadership check. You also have Inner Circle, which I find very interesting because it's fearless and preferred enemy Chaos Space Marine. And there are a lot of units with this.
Yes.
With Inner Circle. And you kind of come to this conclusion, like I said earlier, what you get in this book is you get Fearless for like half of your army. The other half of your army is Stubborn with Grim Resolve. And you kind of look at it and go, yeah, but why wouldn't I want that? Like, we all know Fearless is awesome and there's no drawback to Fearless, so why shouldn't everything be Fearless if you can take it, right? Like, we know this. We know that this is what's good in the game. When it comes to psychology, you've got leadership 10, and then there's just fucking fearless, and fearless is never bad. So you gotta like the fact that you're seeing a lot of that stuff in this book at what appears to be a very, very minimal cost. Right? If anything, they're putting it on as like the icing on the cake, and everything else is going into cost increases for like Terminators and stuff like that. But really, this is a bargain when you come away from it. All right, so chapter master or company masters, very similar to what you would have seen in the Vanilla Marines book. Inner Circle is really the only change, but it's the Iron Halo, so on and so forth. And when you actually get to the section of the book with the options, you as you would suspect, he has access to pretty much everything. So you can put him on a bike, you can put him in a speeder, you can go all sorts of crazy with him. So I mean, it's absolutely something to look at. And I was gonna say, because I didn't actually notice it before. You had said before that there was the opportunity to take a character as this and get like a bike squad or a Ravenwing squad in as your troops choices. Where was that bit?
In the Vanilla Marines Codex, if you put a captain on a bike, bikes become troops. In this one, if you take Belial, Deathwing Terminators become troops.
Oh,
And
it's
if
in
you
the
take
special
Samael,
character rules.
yeah, I mean, if you actually, you have to, it's not even in the special character rules. You just have to flip into the army selection, pages 92 and 93. Belial has the Grandmaster of the Deathwing, which says that Belial, you know, if you contain Belial, Deathwing Terminator squads are troops instead of elites. Samael does the same thing with Ravenwing attack squadrons. But what's
Oh,
interesting
okay,
is
yeah.
Azrael does both. And that's what I think is actually really cool, because I remember in the last book, if you wanted bikes and Terminators as troops, you had to take both Belial and Samael. Those were your two HQs. Deal with it. Whereas with Azrael, you take him, you get both of those options right off the bats, which is really good because, again, Azrael's pimp. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if he got a new model, I would include him in every single list because he is that good. Right. You know, you get to pick which warlord trait you want, which is, again, outstanding. Mm-hmm. He has the overly redundant artificer armor that gives him feel no pain 6+, which is funny because this is 40K, not fantasy. So it's not just keep rolling saves till you fail one.
Right.
He confers his leadership of 10 for all morale pinning or leadership checks. He has a 4+ invuln. He's got his fucking combi weapon that's mastercrafted and has the blind special rule for kicks, which is just a combi plasma. But then his Sword of Secrets, strength 6, marine at AP 3, mastercrafted. Like, it's just like, he's good. And his price tag is not bad. So
it's not over the top considering the points level that we're looking at, you know. And when you talk about Dark Angels, you know, it's not a lot of times that you're seeing a very traditional Dark Angels army. You're almost always seeing one of three, the Deathwing or the two Ravenwing bikes or lands. But you know what I mean? Like, it's you're very rarely seeing straight up Dark Angels on the table. It's always one of these specialized ones. So he is actually kind of, like you say, a no-brainer when you're looking at taking those units as troops. But yeah, I see what you were talking about now. I must have just breezed over that. But so we got chaplains, interrogator chaplains. Nothing really new there outside of maybe Zealot. Is something that we see on there. It's just kind of a quick add-on. We might be seeing that on chaplains going forward.
Yeah, we definitely will be.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer again.
I was going to say, Zealot just, like, the Zealot special rule is brilliant because it replaces Litanies of Hate and whatever that other one is for for chaplains. I'm just trying to remember it. I'm like, maybe if I stop talking enough, it will come to me, but it really isn't, because realistically, all Zealot is doing is conferring Fearless and I think Preferred Enemy, or is it Furious Charge?
I think it's Furious Charge. Oh, okay. I don't know. Sorry. And again, like, this shows you how often you and I have been playing 40K in the last few weeks here. I would literally have to open up Army Builder.
Oh. Fearless and Hatred.
Fearless and Hatred. So that's
the, yeah, so it is literally identical to the Litanies of Hate and the whatever other one they are, but they're able to put it down in one word that references the main rule book and doesn't require them to take up the space printing it. So I like the change. You will see it with Vanilla Marines and all of the next 10.
Not a big shock for anybody who actually knows.
Loyalist
Marines. Space Marine a lot more than we do.
Yeah.
Librarians, no surprise there. Psyker level 1, but again, you do get the inner circle on that one.
Now,
inner circle as well on the chaplain and interrogator chaplain. So now hatred and preferred enemy.
One question I have for you: does he have access to more lores than regular marine chaplains? Because he doesn't. He has all but biomancy, and I was pretty sure that marines didn't get telepathy normally.
No, you're correct, because I do remember actually on the little quick reference sheet that they gave you with the Psyker cards, which are in my basement, so fuck off.
I don't even know where mine are.
Listed separately, and they do have a different layout than standard Marines. So yes.
So again, knowing how good telepathy is, it's one of those things where it's just like, why would you not go with Dark Angels over?
Yeah, exactly.
Over regular ones. Sorry, I'm opening up the FAQs.
Yeah, that go for it.
State it so I can see, because I'm almost.
Yeah, Tech Marines, nothing changed there. No surprise at all. They have Grim Resolve and They Shall Know No Fear, so it's your basic Tech Marine a la Dark Angels. There's really nothing to it there. I didn't notice any big changes going that way with the Servitors either. Command Squads, as we kind of talked about, there is a little bit of a change in the direction that you see with command squads because of the fact that they do allow you to take command squads in a lot of different places. But in this particular case, it's just your standard command squad for regular old Marines. But you do have one or two different options when you actually get down to the unit entry at the end of the book.
Oh, I also have the answer. They lose biomancy, they pick up divination.
In
terms of disciplines for librarians. But go on.
Divination is okay.
Divination is good.
I think
good,
it was
though.
On par with biomancy.
I was going to say, doesn't divination have the power that allows you to overwatch on your ballistic skill?
Yes.
Which is fantastic when you combine it with one of the sacred standards.
Right. but, I mean, the big thing here is not necessarily their librarians, but when you actually get to Ezekiel. Because I think Ezekiel is the one where you're just like, ooh, okay, sweet.
Oh, God, with Mindworm, yeah.
Oh, but that's exactly it. So we'll talk about that when we get back to him. So otherwise, you know, Marines, Tactical Marines, nothing different than what we talked about before. They do a good job of breaking down War Gear 4, TAC, Assault, and Dev Squads. And again, I might sound like a total idiot again, but when we get back to the back of the book, one of the options that they have for the Assault Squads I thought was new and I thought was very interesting, where basically you are allowed to give your Assault Squad pretty much everything that a normal Assault Squad would have had, but you have the option of removing their jetpacks and giving them either a drop pod or a rhino at no cost.
Yeah, that's no different.
That's no different. They have that in the regular thing as well.
Yeah, and the Blood Angels book. So this is the third codex doing that, but good job keeping up.
I'm just saying, it's interesting.
Look, neither of us play Marine armies. I don't blame it.
I own a Space Marine codex, but literally I read it 5 years ago, and I haven't touched it since then. So, like, there's a lot of these things where it's just like, ooh, new to me. I'm excited.
Yeah, no shit.
But yes, we'll chalk that up to idiocy. Veteran squads, nothing different there. Scout squads, nothing different there. Here's where it starts getting dry. Tanks, nothing different there. Land Raiders, nothing different there except for Redeemers, but who cares?
Deathwing Vehicle, though, I think that's an interesting one.
I don't even think that's interesting. Are you serious?
Yes, all right, this is new. Okay, so what the Deathwing Vehicle special rule is it basically allows you to take the Venerable Dreadnought Universal Special Rule that says I can force you to reroll a damage, like a pen roll, like a damage roll, but you can buy it on Land Raiders. And I actually think that that is a game changer, because basically what it forces opponents to do is for, what is it, 30 points? I'm going to flip over there. For 30 points, you are saying that you will never get lucky on my Land Raider. You have to strip all four hull points.
Right.
And you know, and again, when we're talking about a fucking Terminator delivery system, and they've got great Terminators in this book, that's a big deal, you know? So it's just like, I think it's really, really good. Because, I mean, you know, the whole reroll misses is whoopty shit for a Land Raider. It's again, making Venerable Dreadnoughts better because they have preferred enemy Chaos Space Marines. So again, if your Venerable Dread is punching on Chaos Marines, that's awesome for him. Otherwise, it's a non-issue. But the fact that you can buy the forced reroll for damage rolls on Land Raiders is huge, considering how stingy the current damage table is. Okay. So, I mean, for me, if you're going to buy a Land Raider, Deathwing Vehicles is a no-brainer. Why the fuck would you not say, I will take out two Tactical Marines and buy this?
Sure. Yeah, and again, I guess I don't disagree. It's just, it's not anything that, we're talking one or two vehicles on the table making the difference, and I think there's more than enough stuff out there that's just like, you know, Necrons are just going to shrug at that and be like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I was glancing you to death anyway, asshole.
Exactly, right? Like, it's, I think there's more than enough opportunity to just continue chugging away at it. Yes, it does make them more reliable in terms of keeping them on the table, but that was like the fucking monolith, you know, but it monoliths die just as fast.
Yo, but then they took away all of those.
Oh, I know.
For the
monolith. They also made them drastically cheaper.
30 points. I mean, that's drastic. Go on.
Cool. Same as this. But anyways, yeah, drop pods, nothing really there. Dreadnoughts, nothing really there, unless you're talking about Deathwing Vehicle for the Dreadnoughts.
But again, the only difference is preferred enemy Chaos Space Marine. Otherwise, it's the same as a current Venerable.
And again, that's why I shrugged my whole way through it. Is it's just like, yeah, it's a rule, fine, but otherwise it's just Marine.
Yeah.
You know, it's
interesting stuff.
Until we get to the Deathwing, where we actually start seeing some interesting stuff.
And I think the Deathwing are fantastic for their points.
Oh, they're amazing. I think this is where I stop. And between the Deathwing and the Ravenwing, I have to say two things out there to people who are currently playing Space Marines. If you love Space Marine bikes or you love Terminators, you will never be happier in your entire life. Because this book is going to make that army that everyone told you was fun but stupid. And it actually makes it very hard to play. It makes it competitive. And it gives it a lot of variety that is sorely needed. Whether you love or hate the rules, that's not necessarily the question. It's more to the fact that, you know, I look at these fucking Deathwing Knights. And I look at the Forge World Terminators with scythes that they have on there recently.
The Death Guard Terminators. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah, all right. I could do an army of those.
Yeah, that would be pretty fucking slick.
Wouldn't it, though? So, yeah, I mean, it's like, I do look at this, and all, I don't see Dark Angels at all. I don't see even Deathwing at all. I just sit there and I go, something else not stupid. But yes, Deathwings, I'll let you take the lead on Deathwing.
All right, so here is why the Deathwing Terminators are the fucking tits, okay? Like their previous incarnation, they are able to freely mix and match any combination of Terminator weapons. So you can still take Thunderhammer Storm Shield with Lightning Claws with Storm Bolter Power Fists, which allows you to really, you know, sort of mix and match and create customized squads that are as good as you want. Mm-hmm. You are paying 4 points more per model. With that, you are getting Inner Circle. So you're getting Fearless and Preferred Enemy Chaos Space Marines. You are getting the Deathwing Assault Rule, which, yes, old Deathwing Terminators did have it. But you are also getting Split Fire, which I think is a brilliant rule because it allows one model from your unit to shoot at a target a different unit. So again,
it's brilliant.
Oh, it's so brilliant. Basically, you can say, I'm going to take an anti-infantry, you know, tons of Storm Bolters. I'm going to save the best for last, so we'll say Assault Cannon.
Sure.
And one Cyclone Missile Launcher, so that way you drop down, your Cyclone Missile Launcher shoots the, you know, the ass of a Rhino to blow it up. Meanwhile, your guys hose down an infantry squad. Yep. So, I mean, it's super good. It gives you a lot of tactical flexibility. Oh, but then you get amazing. Vengeful Strike. And Vengeful Strike, to me, is like the whole point where you're just like, it's why have shooting Terminators never had such a brilliant rule before?
Yep.
Because all Vengeful Strike is doing is saying, hey, asshole, can rip the arms off all your Thunderhammer Storm Shield Terminators because you want to shoot.
Exactly.
Because what Vengeful Strike does is it twin links all of your shooting attacks the turn you deep strike.
Not including psychic powers.
Not including psychic powers. But I mean, this is fucking huge.
Here's what I like about it. Until the turn ends, that also includes Snapfire. Overwatch.
Yes, that is very,
drop,
very true.
Shoot, he charges, you go like, right, Overwatch, and you get twin linked on that too.
Yeah, which is good. But then there are two other sort of minor changes. Deathwing Assault has changed, okay? Now, you pick a, like, when you roll for your Warlord trait, you get to choose at which point, or which turn, the first or the second, your Terminators come in. It's automatic. It requires no roll. So you get to say, turn one, I'm going to Alpha Strike with my fucking 10, you know, with my fucking huge squad of Terminators. And the other very, very good thing, which didn't used to exist, is you may now take a unit of 10 Deathwing Terminators. Mm-hmm. So in the old Dark Angels Codex, they restricted you to 5. 5 was the maximum. 5 was it. They've doubled it, so it's more in line with all other Terminator squads, but it's huge because it's only when you really start to stack these rules that you realize what a big fucking deal this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can take 2 10-man Terminator squads, Deathwing Assault, so I say they both come in turn 1, and there's nothing stopping me to do it, and bam, they twin link all their shooting. I mean, that's a horrendous amount of firepower to just be churning out in a single turn. So,
turn 2 is more than likely when you're going to see it, just because you're going to have a bike with the teleport homer. You know, you're going to be jetting that up the table. You're going to be doing that kind of stuff turn 1 off of like a turbo boost.
But remember, Ravenwing bikes have the scout special rules.
Oh, I know. So
you even put them into position turn 1.
You can even do that as well. Yeah, that would work.
The thing. And this is what makes Deathwing Terminators unique. And this is one of the things that the moment I saw this, I was just like, why the fuck would you not do this? They can take a plasma cannon. They are the only Terminator model that has access to plasma cannons. So you take a fucking 10-man Terminator squad, you give them a pair of plasma cannons, and you give them the rest of them all fucking storm bolters. And you just drop that down and you murder the shit out of things. If you want to split it up, take one plasma cannon with one missile, cyclone missile launcher for the split fire rule, because why wouldn't you capitalize on that?
Yep. Well, it's just the firepower coming out of cyclone missile launchers.
And that's exactly it. And that's what I love about the Vengeful Strike rule, is it's no longer an issue of all five of my Terminators are Thunderhammer Storm Shields with the one cyclone missile launcher on my shoulder pads, and I'm just going to try to absorb punishment.
Right.
Now, what you know, your ideal fucking alpha strike potential is just take guns. Take all the fucking guns you can, because we're paying 4 points more per model.
Which is what we've always said.
You everything. And I mean, 4 points is fucking nothing. You've saved that on your tactical squads.
As internet soothsayers, we're on target again.
Yeah.
That's two for two.
Hey.
Come on, bring it in. Group hug.
Ooh, what you mean double Dutch rudder?
That's always what I mean when I say group hug. So that brings us on to the Deathwing Command squads, which are kind of pointless, but...
Deathwing, again, if you're going to play a full Deathwing army, being able to take a... have a standard, which is meh, but being able to have a unit of five Terminators that can have feel no pain... not bad. Not great, but not bad.
But you already have a 5-plus ward.
Yeah, but feel no pain can be used after you fail an armor save.
After you fail your armor save, yeah. But again, it's just like, that's just... it's doubling down on pointless. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's... I got a 2-plus and a 5-plus and a 5-plus. It's just like, it just doesn't... To me, it doesn't seem like it's all that.
Oh, yeah, like I said, it's five models.
I am with you.
I would rather take more regular Terminators because they can...
Because it's double the price for the Terminators and the bikes.
Well, from a regular command squad. But I mean, like I said, I would personally still take just more Deathwing Terminators than a command squad, because I really think that it adds that much.
Let's move on to the wackiness of Deathwing Knights.
Deathwing Knights!
Knights in hoodies. Hoodie knights. They just look like they're wearing hoodies.
Well, the worst part is, Lazen, it's just so silly, because if you actually think about it, this is a guy that is wearing a hoodie or a bathrobe with a hood on it.
Right. Even if you assume he's wearing it under his armor.
Then he puts his armor on, because it is clearly, the hood is clearly underneath his armor. But then once the armor is on, he has the servitors tie a fucking apron to the front of his Terminator armor. And that's the point where I'm just like, it is the single most obvious and pointless and stupid sculpt they could have done.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even try with it. They were just like, oh, you want Terminators with robes?
And it all goes to my fucking hatred. And I mean pure, unmitigated hatred of Space Marines without helmets on.
I can't
fucking stand it. I'm just like, why the fuck are you wearing Terminator armor without a helmet? I think any Power Armor or Terminator armor character without a helmet should have their save reduced by one. I'm sorry. I can't fucking stand it. I can't stand it. Anyways. So let's talk about their rules a little bit here. Plus one weapon skill. They're quite a bit more expensive. They have a very different arrangement for their weapons and things of that nature, but not necessarily
better.
A good arrangement. It's just it's interesting.
Basically, this is a unit of combat Terminators.
Okay, well, I'm actually going to stop you here before you get into that. And there's two things that stand out as being dumb for me.
All right.
Obviously, there's the shield wall, which we'll talk about.
It's called Fortress of Shields. Thank you.
But the fact that this Terminator squad has Hammer of Wrath. Did you notice that? It has Hammer of Wrath. Like, I did. Which,
what? You don't think that throwing out like 5 to 10 more strength for AP dash attacks is going to
That's not even the thing. It's just that it doesn't apply here. We're Hammer of Wrath in the rules, even in the special rules in the rulebook, when they talk about it, it's just like the pure impact of their charge. They're fucking, because they're coming down on jetpacks, man. jetpacks and they're flying in, and it's.
I was gonna say, I think the only things with Hammer of Wrath are assault, like jump pack troops.
Yep, jump pack troops
and monstrous creatures.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
And Deathwing,
and apparently, Deathwing Knights, because even though they're relentless and they can't pursue, and all they can do is stalk forward. They just stalk forward into you so hard.
Now, is it just me, but like every time I say Deathwing, all I think of is Darkwing Duck. Like, is that just me?
I think that's just you.
All right, fine.
I have purged Darkwing Duck from my memory. All I know is that like Launchpad McQuack was in that show at one point, and like that's as much as I remember.
I think it was in it all of the time. But anyway, no, I said it's just, I look at the Deathwing Knights and I think, why would you pay the 2 more points? Because, I mean, it's not very many points, but they cannot become troops, unlike your Deathwing Terminator squad that have 2 special characters that unlocks it. They have storm shields, which you can give to all of your Deathwing Terminators, but as we discussed, why would you not want to fucking shoot with them?
Mm-hmm.
Weapon skill 5 is good. Hammer of Wrath is silly.
Mm-hmm.
They have inner circles, same as the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, Fortress of Shields is a... It's a neat rule, but basically all you're saying is, dear plasma cannons, rate me in the face, because exactly. You're wounding me on 2+.
It means nothing to the weapons that are going to really, fuck you no really matter what doesn't. You do.
I think that precision strike on all of the models isn't bad, because it does give you a lot of opportunities to wound allocate, but where the unit really falls apart for me are their weapon options, because you've got your champion with the Flail of the Unforgiven, which is a good weapon, so
yeah,
I'm not even going to talk down on it. It's a good weapon. Strength 6, AP 3, concussive is good. There, you know, nothing wrong with that. But everyone else has this weird fucking Mace of Absolution. So all of your Terminators allow basic Marines to have armor saves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's weird to me. Or once per game, you can smite, in which case you are going to wreck the shit out of whatever you choose to fuck up, because now you're strength 10, AP 2, concussive, but it's a one use only. All of your models have to use it at the same time, so you can't even stagger that shit. You can't even say, okay, 2 of my guys are going to wreck shit. You know, like, it's just like, that's odd. Because unless you are playing Chaos Space Marines, which triggers their Bane of the Traitor rule, dropping all their APs down to 1, AP 4 is what the majority of your squad has.
Well, see, and
that's why I'm just like...
Here's where this falls off. You're able to... I mean, because you're using a Storm Shield, you're never going to get +1 to attack. So, I mean, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah.
And so Storm Bolter's not going to give you that. So, okay, fuck it, whatever. So the only bonus of this is that it's got concussive... And you're striking at initiative. Well, okay, but is striking at initiative all that big of a deal? Are these ever worthwhile when you're fighting anyone other than Chaos Space Marines? And the answer is no, because even if you look at these and you say, well, I'd like to take this, 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 and this, it's not better than Lightning Claws.
No, absolutely.
And that's what it comes down to, is it's just like, ah, oh, but I can take 2 Lightning Claws. And they're like, yeah, oh, but you get Storm Shields. Well, I don't really need a Storm Shield.
But even if you said, I want the Storm Shields, you are much better off taking Thunder Hammers, with your strength times 2, AP 2, also have the concussive charge, but they're unwieldy. So what you're saying is should I be fighting strength 6, AP 4 at initiative, or should I be fighting strength 8, AP 2 at initiative 1, and you should always be taking the higher strength that ignores all armor saves?
It seems very silly. It's just
going to be better. You know, and beyond that, honestly, like I said, if you're going to take Terminators... Take regular Deathwing squads, throw plasma cannons in there.
Mm-hmm.
It is despicable how much you can kill with that. I mean, like, I'm still blown away by the fact that they can take that, because for 470 points, I can have a 10-man squad with 2 plasma cannons in it.
With twice the firepower of a Marine squad.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly it. It's just like a Marine, you know, that's on par for a Marine squad, or for 2 Marine squads if you're going to go tacticals.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about the Fortress of Shields here. So Fortress of Shields,
there are 2 situations where Fortress of Shields as a rule are going to come into effect.
Tau?
First, well, no, I mean, fuck it. The first being when you deep strike, because you're going to want to. You're slow as fuck. When you deep strike, everyone has to make that sort of circle, so everyone's going to be touching the bases of two other ones. So it is useful for the turn where you have to be clustered to at least be plus one strength, so you're going to help mitigate small arms fire damage.
Plus one toughness.
Which is what never actually kills Terminators. No. It's always going to be the plasma cannons, the demolisher cannons, exactly. Everything else. So it's kind of a moot point. The other thing is you could potentially position them so that when you are fighting in close combat, you would be toughness 5. But at no other time would you want to just hang out.
Right. Well, what's silly about this is that it's the only unit. Well, sorry, what?
Shields make you tougher?
Well, no, not even that.
I mean, that's why you take Empire Swordsmen.
It's I mean, don't worry about it. I get their thinking on it. This is somebody who saw 300 too many times and thought it was awesome. The shield wall is so great. We stopped an elephant with it. I don't know what the fuck ever they were thinking.
Shade. It's
That's right. So, and again, they've got the Night Shroud, so clearly they're fighting in the shade. But what's so stupid about it is this is the only unit in 40K that almost demands a movement tray. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, the stupid thing about it is, why would you ever go out of that if you ever went into it in the first place? You know what I mean? Like, if you went into it in the first place and you're doing, like, 5x2 or whatever the fuck you decide to put yourself into position as, you're kind of sitting there going, right, so why would I ever get out of here? Well, okay, he's got plasma, he's got a devastator, you know, or demolisher, whatever it is, that's going to be blowing my unit away, and that plus one toughness means fucking nothing. But if you're playing against an army like Tau, and the guy didn't bring the devil, whatever it's called. The
Hammerhead,
right. If he didn't bring a hammerhead with the strength 10 template, you know, you don't care.
Tau don't have a strength 10
template. Oh, right, what do they have?
That would ignore Terminator saves. They have rapid firing plasma weapons at strength 6, so that could help mitigate a little bit. And they have railguns.
Okay, I'm thinking back to something wrong then. But anyways, yes, essentially, if you're playing against Tau, or you're playing against orcs, or you're playing against something where, like, yeah, there's a chance of small arms fire, there's a chance of combat, or there's a chance of this, that, or the other thing, you know, it's definitely it's like, well, you're just going to get the plus 5 toughness, so you're never going to move out of that. So you may as well just literally move, put them on a movement tray and just move them around the table on the movement tray. What I think is ridiculous about it is it's funny because I'm reading Betrayer right now. Mm-hmm. Because, spoiler alert, we're going to have Aaron Dembski Bowden on the show. Bowden.
I was going to say Bowden. I'm like, you didn't even get the letters right. But you saved it. You saved.
Bowden, right?
Yeah. Or Bowden. I don't know how he pronounces his last name. But your first one sounded like you said it with the letter M. And that's why I was like, that's not
I may good. Have. I don't know. I've been drinking. But really, yeah, we're going to have him on the show. So I wanted to go and read Betrayer. And I'm actually enjoying it. It's pretty good so far.
See, I couldn't find my copy. So I got into... I started Dan Abnett's No No Fear, which I think precedes Betrayer chronologically. So I'm going to finish the last 150 pages of that before I get into Betrayer.
But... Yeah. So anyways, I mean, email us your questions if you have stuff that you would like us to ask Aaron when he's on the show. But anyways, I'm reading it. And he actually makes mention at one point where he talks about the idea of warfare coming full circle, where, old warfare was in the dirt, hand to hand, and that was the majority of it. And then it turned to warfare being trenches and always from a distance, and you never saw the face of your enemy. And now in the 30,000 universe, because this is the Horus Heresy, it's come full circle around, and like Karn is kind of musing on this idea that it's right back to where it was before. Everyone's blind, nobody knows what's going on, and it's just whoever's in front of you is who you're going for. But still, this Fortress of Shields rule is fucking ridiculous. Just the idea that they're just like, oh, just makes them tougher. It's like, well, no, don't do that. Like, that's a bad, it's a bad application of what you're trying to do by saying, oh, well, they all group together and they use their shields. These shields protect a force field. Them grouping together is not changing the force field that's being projected from these shields. Like, it's that's the technology of what a storm yeah. does. It projects.
Well, it's just like
it's not see, perfect. It's not ceramite or whatever the fuck.
I think what the issue is if instead of this whole Fortress of Shields and you have to put everyone base to base and blah blah blah, if all he'd said is that Deathwing Knights are toughness 5 because the force fields in their storm shields is more powerful, we would just shut the fuck up and be like, yeah, okay, it makes sense.
That's crazy. Yeah, oh, awesome. They're bigger than...
Oh, yeah, they're Nurgle Terminators. Right, that's exactly. Cool.
Like, it's just, it's... And I don't have any problem with the rule. I think the rule's fine, if not funny.
I think it is funny, especially because the last sentence of it is, with careful positioning, this can increase the whole squad's toughness.
Right.
And you're just like, well, yeah, but really?
Anyways...
Lasai.
But I think you and I both agree. Sure, take them for flavor. By all means, why not? But really, there's no point in taking a squad of these guys when you've got Deathwing Terminators for cheaper, doing virtually the same thing, reliably.
Yeah.
And at least being more specific to when you're not playing Chaos Space Marines.
Yeah.
That's really what...
And that's exactly it. Is like, you know, like you said, if you are playing against the Chaos Space Marine army, Bane of the Traitor is going to kick in, and they are going to be your MVPs. Yeah. Because Weapon Skill 5 Terminators at 8-1, they're going to get in, and they are going to absolutely wreck his face.
Well, and like I said, they're Inner Circle, so they're preferred enemy Chaos as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. So preferred enemy, you know, you're hitting on threes, re-rolling all the times. Your weakest guy is Strength 6, so you're wounding on twos unless they're Nurgle. And you're AP 1, so you're just absolutely wrecking his face. But the problem is if you are playing against any other opponent, Deathwing Terminators are better bang for your buck, period.
Well, I mean, shit, a 10-man assault squad with, like, two Power Fists in it are going to fuck that squad up.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the problem with it. All right, so...
Combat Terminators, take a 10-man Thunderhammer Storm Shield squad.
Yeah, exactly. Goodness. All right, so let's move on to the Raven Wing here. Obviously, we kind of touched on it before. We do get some very, very interesting things happening with the Raven Wing.
Mm-hmm.
The Raven Wing biker squads are very, very similar. They do automatically come with a Teleport Homer, Hit and Run, Scouts, and they do have the Grim Resolve, which is very, very cool. They do get the combat squad, so no surprises there.
See, what actually was a surprise with the combat squad was they excluded the attack bike. And the reason this is surprising is they actually kind of dicked around with Raven Wing bike squad numbers, and you can fucking expect to see this in Space Marines.
Mm-hmm.
Is the old total was you bought it, you got three, you could buy up to five additional. Plus one attack bike, plus a speeder.
Right.
When you did it, it specifically said that you would combat squad into a unit of five bikes, a unit of three with the attack bike, and the speeder would always be on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have limited bike squads to six-man total.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy your three, you can buy up to three additional. So they've already trimmed that back down. And they have said that attack bikes, when you buy them, always operate as one-man units.
Mm-hmm.
They are always on their own. They are never part of anything else. And like I said, I just find that to be a little bit interesting.
Oh, no.
Because they have, again, they've pared it down. Because I remember in the last Archangels book, I had thought about running Raven Wing for a long time and just taking nothing but like maxed out bike squads and splitting them into combat squads. So you'd have your tank hunting wing of multi-melts attack bike with his... two of his three friends also having melted guns, and then five regular guys with the Power Fist, right? So it's just, I thought it was interesting that they did that. They toned the squad size down, and they kicked attack bikes out of the combat squad.
Well, okay. Here's where I kind of look at it, and I do see it quite a bit different from you. If you look at the number of Marines in that squad once you do literally everything, it's 10. Right? Like, it's six bikers, two on the attack bike, two on the land speeder.
Yes.
Right? So it's still 10. I like the idea that for this squad and the way that they've done combat squads for the Raven Wing, you're not splitting into two. You're essentially splitting into four.
Yes.
Right? I like that. I love the idea where I can sit there and say, you know what? I need a little bit more on the table to just kind of spread out the love. And I think in this case, because of that, you're always going to want to default your attack bike to a multi-melta. And for the land speeder, you're probably going to want to do similar. Just for the fact that if you ever do decide to split, they're great tank hunting units, and it just means that it's a lot of shit on the table that your opponent's not going to want to waste their fire on.
See, what I saw it as is I actually saw it as the balancing of all of the Raven Wings special rules.
Super fancies? All their super fancy special rules?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they've always had teleport homers. They've always had scout. They've always had hit and run. And that is what makes them all... That is what makes them intrinsically different from Space Marine bikes, who have none of those three special rules by default. What I think they did by scaling it back and by taking the attack bike off is twofold. One, it makes it easier for you, the opponent, to kill three bikes, three wounds of toughness five Marines, then five to remove that teleport homer out of play, thereby making the Deathwing assault less reliable. And two, if you take the attack bike, you're basically giving up the first blood victory point. And I think, and I really like that balance, because remember, in the last book, you would have five wounds and five wounds, because attack bikes have two, and his three friends. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you could take a maxed out bike squad without taking the land speeder, and A, it's hard as fuck to get rid of before the five-man Terminators drop down, and B, you're not risking giving up first blood. Now, you have to actually decide... I want the one-man attack bike, knowing that he's a one-man scoring unit, which is great? You know, he's such a worthless throwaway, because who gives a fuck what happens to a small, you know, 155-point model with a multi-melta? You're going to zip him towards the Land Raider and hope for the best.
Right.
But, like I said, now you have to look at it and say, but if I do that, I'm basically giving my opponent a victory point.
Well,
and since all of your scenarios are so low scoring in victory points, that's where I think it's actually really brilliant. So like I said, they scaled back on it, and they kind of really balanced it out.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just don't maybe put the weight on it that you do, because I look at it and say, yeah, but at the same time, you can go ahead and put that teleport homer on the attack bike, leave it behind, put it away behind some shit, get it into cover right away. You know, turbo boost it up, move the other stuff in front of it. You know, like they're very viable tactics.
But I mean, every model has a teleport homer, so it's not an issue of giving it to
them. I thought you just had one that you could.
No, every single model has a teleport homer. Realistically, what I think it is if you are banking on the combination of teleport homer with Deathwing assault, what this split is saying is,
oh yeah, no, I see.
Don't take the attack bike.
Right.
And that's what I like about it. Because, again, in the last book, there was no penalty. Why the fuck would you not take the multi-melta attack bike and combat squad it with three friends? Because they're a blade of wounds.
I still think you would. I think it's still worthwhile. I think you just have to be smart about the way that you play it.
Yes. And again,
You can't be the dumb fuck throwing your attack bike out at the front, giving them that first victory point for first blood. Yeah, like you said. All right. So let's move on here a little bit toward the Ravenwing Black Knight squad, which is pure awesome win, 100 times win. I am absolutely in love with this squad. It is hard-hitting, absolutely gorgeous, and, I mean, it's just staggering. Like, it's freaking awesome for the points, especially.
Well, I mean, I think they are appropriately costed, and what I find interesting is they are 2 points cheaper than Terminators. With that being said, you have all of the special rules that you have for Ravenwing bikes. So you have scouts, you have this and that, you know, you have hit and run, you have teleport homers, you have all that, which is all great. Mm-hmm. You inherit skilled rider, so you no longer have to fear rolling a one on difficult terrain, because you get to reroll it. But what is absolutely outstanding for these guys is you get a close combat weapon that makes your guys strength 5 and gives them the rending universal special rule, which is phenomenal. And you get a fucking twin-linked 18-inch range, basically plasma pistol. It's a one-shot twin-linked plasma gun.
It's rapid fire.
I didn't think it was.
What's it called? Plasma...
It's Plasma Talon.
Plasma Talon.
Page 60.
Rapid fire gets hot twin-linked.
No, it's not rapid fire. It's just gets hot twin-linked.
Plasma Talon. Rapid fire gets hot twin-linked.
Our books are clearly different.
The back page, profiles, ranged weapons.
Oh, I'm looking at page 16. Wow, have they already fucked this up?
Oh, yeah, dude, the profile page at the back is fucking awful.
Wow, okay, so you heard it here on Jada Gator GamerCast. Use the profile page in the back. It is better than what is written in the codex. And be that douchebag.
Well, no, I mean, you're reading off of the...
Page 60 is within Armory of the Rock, which just sounds like a bad Michael Bay film. Plasma Talon gets hot, twin linked. Is not listed as a weapon type. So I assumed it was basically just a 6-inch range pistol.
Well, when you look at the models, they're clearly plasma guns, not plasma.
Yes, they are, but they also have 6 inches less range. But either way, we need an FAQ. Thanks for coming out. whether they are one or if they're rapid fire, they're holy shit worth it. If they are one shot weapons, they're good.
Well, exactly. But again, you have to understand that with an 18-inch range, that rapid fire is short.
Yes, but they are still strength 5 rending when they get into combat. So, I mean, realistically, you take a full squad of, what, do they max out?
Okay, here's my thing, Nathan. Here's my thing. If you were looking at a Ravenwing attack squad, right, you're looking at the bikes.
You can take a 10-man unit of those, but only a 6-man unit of bikes? What the fuck?
Well, because, again, the standard squad is built to be the tactical squad, right? It's not a bike squad anymore. It's a tactical squad. But it's an all-around tactical squad. That's why I was saying, when you look...
Yeah, I see that.
That's why I thought that was so brilliant. Mm-hmm. Because they're just like, oh, you want the full squad? Here's your heavy weapon. Here's your assault weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that it works. Whereas these guys, no, it's you full-on go 10-man. And it's fucking amazing. But if you were to look at the points costs, right? You're looking at the point costs, 27 versus 42. If I said to you, you could have yourself a twin-linked plasma gun on each of these bikes with an 18-inch range for 15 points as an upgrade, would you not take that on every single guy? And if you say no, I say, listen, I'll sweeten the deal, motherfucker. And I will give you +1 strength and rending.
Yes. Oh, look, see,
you not take these?
Here's my thing. If you are going to play pure Ravenwing, yes, why do you not have 10, maybe even 20 of those fucking black guns?
Exactly.
They are so good. And they provide firepower and combat in a way that your Ravenwing attack squadrons lack.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. If we are talking Dark Angels as a whole, I personally am going to stick with my plasma cannon wielding Deathwing Terminators because I'm paying 2 points more per guy.
Right.
But again, that's not taking anything away from Black Knights. That's literally a preference thing. Coke. You like Pepsi. We're not wrong.
It's absolutely a throw up between what do you want? Do you want the armor and the deep strike and just the pure brutal force of Terminators? Or do you want the speed and the ability to pick your battles and the ability to have that toughness 5 as what's keeping you in the game? Out
bikes. What I love about Ravenwing, I've always loved about Ravenwing, is their quick ability to redeploy.
Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding, especially now with all bikes having a naked 36-inch range, ability to move. Because it's like, turn one, I'm going to move, then I'm going to turbo boost 24 inches.
Right.
And with Scout, if you go first, you can basically start hard on your right-hand board edge, redeploy to the far left before he gets a shot. And if you have Night Fight with that as well, hot damn. But anyway, Black Knights, outstanding. Fucking take them. Like, so, it's just like, if you're playing Ravenwing, take Black Knights, because holy shit, they're good.
Now,
Command Squad... Meh.
Well, before we leave Black Knights, we have to talk about the grenade launcher.
You mean that outstanding piece of weaponry?
The why would you ever take it?
Really?
It's okay. I kind of look at it and go...
Here is what it comes down to.
Sure, rad grenades? Why not?
No. Here is what it comes down to. You take 3 of these at all times. And do you want to know why? Because this is your combat unit. So you still get 7... guys, because you would never take a unit of just like 3 Black Knights. You take 10 or get the fuck out.
Right.
And you take your 3 grenade launchers. And then you throw 1 rad shell at anything. At anything that is toughness 4. Because if they're toughness 3, you're already wounding on 2s.
No, and I'm aware of it.
And then you throw at least 1 stasis. And then you throw stasis shells stasis anomalies to drop their weapon skill so that when you are done fucking them up in your shooting phase with all the rest of your plasma, which is rapid fire according to my back page, you charge the survivors who you hit on threes and you wound on twos. That is why you take three of them.
I'm aware of what it does. That's not the question. And I'm not talking about them as a whole. I'm talking about them with regards to your Black Knights. Because yes. In the Black Knight squads, I don't think you take them. I think you take them in the command squad. Because at that point, three, why not? Right? You go in, you shoot those off, and then you let the 10-man Black Knight squad come in and fucking mop up. You don't ever have to commit your command squad at this point.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm saying, like, oh, well, here's where you're going to want to take this grenade launcher. Hold on. I'm going to go back to the page. Only one can do it in the command
squad.
Oh, ghetto. I thought you would be able to do the same upgrades.
Yeah. No, but like I said, it's just like, why would you not take them? You're not
I think you do definitely at that point want to take at least two.
Well, yes, at least two, because if you compare the Marine versus mm-hmm. Marine fight, you want to throw one rad grenade and one stasis anomaly so that you are hitting on threes and you are wounding on twos. I think that the third, because it's free, if you're taking a full 10-man squad, is nice to have. So if you run into a Chaos Space Marine, hey, look at my Plague Marines. They're toughness three. Eat a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got that a little bit of extra reliability. Not to mention if you run into, say, a Hive Tyrant. Dropping mm-hmm. that Hive Tyrant to toughness four means you are going to tear it the fuck apart. And that's why I'm just like, you give your 10-man Black Knight unit three grenade launchers, which is the most that they can have, and it's just fucking money. I don't think there's ever a situation where you're just going to say, oh, damn, I really wish that I had the extra couple plasma gun shots, considering that you're always going to be wanting to move this unit into close range so that you're A, rapid firing, and B, charging to mop up the survivors. Because they're bikes. Right. They get Hammer of Wrath.
Right.
They get fucking Strength 5 rending with three attacks per guy. They get all those things. I think the only stupid upgrade they have is, why would you give the Huntmaster a power weapon for 12 points? If it was free, sure. But why would you pay points when he still has three attacks on the charge at strength 5 rending?
Exactly. No, and that's exactly it. And, you know, as much as I love the idea of giving a Ravenwing Apothecary the Narthecium and having this thing, the problem with the command squad, and again, here's where I go back on saying, like, well, that's why I would roll the grenade launchers in. Here's where I'm going to say the grenade launchers fall back, is because I'm not 100% sold on the Ravenwing command squad, because of the fact that it's just, I mean, it's great, but even if you toss that character in there, it's a four-man squad. And that's it's not enough. You're never going to put them into combat. You're never going to put them into a shooting position. You're just going to hide them at the back of the table with a banner that you're never going to use.
See, my problem with the Ravenwing command squad is you're never really going to use it because Samael is not an independent character.
Right.
Because realistically, the only time you would consider taking the Ravenwing command squad is if you... Oh, shit, he is. Never mind. They listed independent character on his list selection page, not on his rules page. Because I was reading his rules back on page
58. Yeah.
Oh, shit, he does. Never mind. I just... Reading comprehension fail. No, that's a good...
It's been a memory.
An skill, evening so. Of... Well, it's just... Old Samael was not an independent character, which meant that he was always a unit of one jet bike or one land speeder.
All right, so let's talk about the dumb a little bit more.
Ravenwing
land speeders. I'm not a fan of the models at all. I think they all look fucking retarded.
Yes, I think that the new land speeder... Okay.
The pulpit...
With land speeders, we have three different types. We have the regular land speeders, which are no different than vanilla Marines, which you can still take into a unit of five,
mm-hmm.
Which are great. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think that you would want to upgrade them, but for 250 points, the fact that you have a squadron with 10 hull points and five heavy bolters, not bad.
Not bad.
Then you get to the Landspeeder Vengeance, which has probably the stupidest model games Workshop has released in a while, and they released the short bus.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking ridiculous.
The little firing pulpit's hilarious, because all I can picture is that particular Space Marine either had his lower body shot off at one point in his past endeavors with the Dark Angels chapter, and they said, well, no, you're not actually good enough to be a dreadnought, so, you know,
see
here, sit in the front of a jet.
What fucking gets me about this
or
is...
Or he's sitting Indian style.
No, listen, what I don't fucking understand about this model is in the traditional land speeder, you have the driver and the gunner side by side.
Right.
So what did they do for this model? They create this fucking pulpit in the front. So, it's like they watched Death Proof. And they're like, oh my God, that part where she's like, where she's like car surfing and she's on the hood. What if he had a gun? How cool would that be? So it's just like they kick him out of his chair. They then board up his fucking slot.
Yes.
Like, this is what gets me about this model, is they then armor it. But is that where the driver's sitting? No, the driver is still just hanging out.
Well, what's so fucking...
He can't get a windshield because they don't have the technology.
What's so fucking ridiculous about it is we've seen this before. They just attach an autocannon to the bottom and he controls it from the same fucking spot. Like, it's not like they needed to put him up at this pulpit at the front where he's vulnerable and out in the middle of nowhere and he's blocking line. Like, that is a huge blind spot for that other Marine. Like, if he wants to see what's coming at them from that angle, he can't see shit.
Not only that, but by armoring his gunner compartment, now he shoulder checks and can't see anything. I mean, talk about an at-fault collision waiting to happen.
Fuck off. I mean, there's no accident forgiveness on that particular vehicle. I'm sure the premiums are through the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so it's
now,
dumb,
okay,
it's stupid,
now the worst
but let's
part
talk
with
about
that.
The model.
Okay, the worst part about that is, okay, the model is fucking retarded. And then they give it the awesome plasma storm battery.
Yes.
And that's why I'm just like, you motherfuckers. Because it is so good. The plasma storm battery is 24-inch range, which is fine because you're a super fast skimmer. That either gives you a plasma gun, either a large blast plasma cannon, which why mm-hmm. would you ever
shoot that particular one, yes. Unless you're like shooting at a one guy, or a tank.
Yeah, or you get a three-shot heavy three plasma gun. Now, it gets hot all the time, and I do love that you can actually get hot means something to vehicles now, which is fine. But, like I said, I hate the model. I absolutely fucking hate it, but why would you not take it?
I think you would not take it because it's a strength 10 skimmer with two hull points. That's why you wouldn't take it. It's expensive.
I'm even finding a...
It's armor 10.
No, I know it is. I'm just trying to find it. Is it a heavy support?
I believe it's heavy support.
Oh my God, it is a heavy support. Yeah. Okay, 140 points. Take a
140 points is way
too much. Think of Vindicator. It's 15 points cheaper. It has better armor, more hull points.
That's what it comes down to.
Fair enough. No, because like I said, I thought for some reason it was 80 and a fast attack.
God, no. Are you fucking shitting me? That's the stupid Fugalug thing. The what's it called? Hold on. I'll get there. The dumb one. You know, the dumb one. Anyways, we'll get to it.
I was going to say the dumb one. I'm like, I've got names of people on my tongue, but I don't know what you're going for.
The Ravenwing Dark Shroud. They will fight in the shade.
Oh, yes. That stupid mother.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I didn't think you could make the model stupider looking.
No.
Like, look at the Dark Shroud. And I was like, congratulations. You've one-upped yourselves, you motherfuckers.
If you couldn't sell me on a fucking dual plasma mega turret, you're not going to sell me on a goddamn floating cathedral that does shit all for my entire army. And yeah, it's a fast attack choice, and it's 80 points. I mean, it's just...
Okay, here's the thing. I read the rules... And then I thought to myself, if that is 50 points, it's not bad. If it's 40 points, why wouldn't you take it? And then it's 80 points. And I'm like, why would you ever take one of these assholes?
I don't know, man.
I mean, for 80 points, can't I buy a naked character who's actually useful?
There's so many better things to do with this.
Oh, my God.
Plus one to your total when attempting your assault. Ooh, wow. If you're within 12 inches of it. Oh, and if you're within 6 inches of it, you gain stealth. And hey, it's also got the shrouded special rule. Who gives a fuck? I mean, if somebody
No,
brought this to
no,
the
no,
table,
no,
I'd.
no, no. It specifically says that this does not affect the dark shrouds themselves. So, despite the fact that I am this stupid fucking skimmer, I do not gain stealth despite this fucking stealth aura I have.
No, the dark shroud gets shrouded. Everyone else gets stealth, right? So
Oh,
shrouded is
I see.
minus two, stealth is minus one. Or
It's.
no,
No.
the
No,
cover save.
right.
It's
It's
the cover save. You know what I'm talking about.
plus one to cover saves. No, absolutely. So it has a 5+ cover save in the open.
Yes.
Eh?
Who gives a fuck?
Realistically, I think all this is if you have 80 points left, I guess, sure, half of your games let you have a 2+ cover save in the open when you start.
All right, so let's move on here to the fighters. We are running very long, but fuck it.
I know,
We're
but
enjoying
whatever.
ourselves. Okay, so the Nephilim Jet Fighter.
Take it, Ravenwing Dark Talon, don't take it.
There you are. I think that you and I both agree on this. I think that the Nephilim Jet Fighter is very cool. I think it's 50-50 whether or not you want to swap out the Twin Link Glass Cannon for the slightly vault or the
Sorry,
ultra
I
bolter.
haven't made it that far because I said I had 2.5 hours
Yeah,
of
yeah,
power
yeah. No,
cost.
you can swap out the dual las cannons,
The
the Twin Link Glass
Avenger?
cannons, for the Avenger Mega Bolter, which is 48-inch range, strength 6, AP 4, heavy 5,
No, see,
and
maybe
that's attached to your Twin
your
Link Tech
six
Bolter as
mission,
well,
your six fucking missiles.
and then your 6 fucking missiles. And the only reason why I say that is because you've got the missiles already. You're kind of already geared with everything else on this thing. You're kind of already geared for shooting at rear armor and fucking up tanks that way, or going after troops and just
Well,
mowing down the lines.
especially because you have to look at the special rules that it has, and this is where it's just an outstanding choice.
Yes.
Strafing run gives it plus one ballistic skill when firing at ground targets.
Exactly.
So you're hitting everything on twos, and that is huge. You've got your twin linked heavy bolter, which is, whatever, it's heavy bolter. It's never a bad thing to have. Your twin linked las cannon and six black sword missiles, which are all what, strength six, AP four? So yes, I can see maybe wanting to trade it for free just to say, okay, I'm only ever gonna shoot at rear armor, but I'm gonna fuck it. I'm just gonna straight up fuck it up.
See,
But
I yeah, and for me, I think it's a no-brainer to swap out those last cannons for the
yeah.
Avenger Mega Bolter,
And
just because the
then
last cannons are out of place on it. They're,
you
unless you're shooting at other fighters, there's just
and that's what
again.
I was gonna say is I'm just like with the las cannon. If you are shooting at like a heavy vehicle, you have one gun shooting and six missiles and a heavy bolter that are doing nothing. And I think that's the only reason you'd want to is never to be tempted to have the opportunity cost loss of all of your other weaponry.
Right.
Because when it comes down
It
to
has a
like
purpose.
taking
It's
off
not a
your
tank.
armor, Unrelenting Hunter is fantastic.
Right. And that's exactly it. And that's all it comes down to is this thing is not meant for killing land raiders. It's not. Stop. Don't try. Cut it out. You have other shit in your list that's going to deal with that. Don't fuck around with it. That's your money winner right there. The Dark Talon is just fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
The Rift Cannon is terrible.
The stasis
The
bomb is
stasis bomb is hilarious, but again, it's one use only, so you're just then walking around with fucking hurricane bolters for the rest of the time, and it's fucking useless. Although I do love in the picture that he's using the Rift Cannon to literally shoot a single Necron warrior.
which is accurate. That's pretty much all you would do.
I guarantee that that's the Necron warrior who came up with Doomsides, and that's why he's angry at him.
Yes,
Because
because the
when
Doom Scythe is so much better.
I first heard about that fucking Rift Cannon, and they're like, and it fucking sucks in the warp energies. And it's just like, but isn't this a chapter that, like, fuck the warp and all things warp and fuck the warp? And now they've got a Rift Cannon? Like, what the fuck? Where did this technology come from?
Yeah.
And then you look at it, and it's just like, oh, it's strength 5. Like, it's really good. The Rift Cannon, 18 inch, strength 5, no AP, heavy 1 blast with blind. Like, it's just. Fucking, like, why would you take it? Why? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, and that's exactly it is I find with the Dark
180
Talon,
points.
its
Or no,
weapons are
160.
all over the place. You know, it's
160
all
Kelvin, yeah.
what? Can you hear me?
I can, yeah, I'm talking over you a lot.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, its weapons are just shit. It's got basically no AP. It's all low strength, so we're saying this is an infantry attacking tank or a flyer, but the Nephilim just does it better. So it's just like, honestly, I would say that the Dark Angels are probably the only army where I would say you could skip flyers entirely. With that being said, I personally like the
I like it.
Nephilim model. I think that the Raven Wing with the cathedral in the back looks stupid as
Yeah,
hell.
and that was the other thing I was going to say about the Nephilim is that if you take a Nephilim, you don't have to take another fucking mobile cathedral
Yes,
with candles
and
lit on the back of a jet fighter.
well,
Anyways, so this moves us into special characters. I don't want to
you're
spend a
just like a
whole lot
candle in the wind, Lang.
of time. I don't know any other lyrics to that song, so I can't
Either do I.
help. But anyways, this moves us on into special characters. You guys need to read them for yourselves. They're very, very in-depth. They're very
They
detailed.
are. Let me do the
The
quick one.
highlights. Yeah, I want to I was just gonna
Asriel, take. He's
say Asriel
fantastic.
is a take. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, if you're gonna take a librarian, take Ezekiel because Mindworm is
That
hilarious.
is what I was going to say as well. Asmodai, skip them.
Yeah, absolutely. Belial, take if you're running Deathwing, skip otherwise.
If you well,
Samael,
you
take
don't
if.
want to take Asriel.
Yes, if you're taking Asriel, Belial and Samael become completely redundant. Otherwise, take them if you're going to play that themed list. I would say Samael, now that he is an independent character, keep him on his jet
Okay.
bike, throw him in a unit of Black Knights, go to town.
Okay, so that's the question for you there. You wouldn't take him on his goofy flying Land Raider?
See, here's the thing.
For
In the last book, I
zero
would have.
points.
Because, when he lacked the independent character special rule, I thought taking him on the speeder was smarter than taking him on the jet bike because he could still be insta-gibbed with the jet bike. With the addition of the independent character special rule, why on God's green earth would you put him on a speeder just to give him a twin-linked assault cannon and a twin-linked heavy bolter? Like, seriously, why the fuck would you?
I think it's just funny because again, for him, I'm just like, ah, but why would you take him? You know, like his points.
Specifically to make Ravenwing Bike Squad's troops. It's the only reason to do
Well, right, but then you should take Asriel
it. See,
because Samuel's 200 points,
okay.
Asriel's 215 points.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the thing. I was going to save this for next week when we're actually talking lists. I think that pure Ravenwing is one of the most potent lists in here because there's some
Right,
combinations that you can make.
and that's kind of gonna keep.
Asriel doesn't like Asriel stands out because if you take him, are you just going to have some asshole with a helmet bearer running up the board by himself? Or are you now going to pay the points to give him a unit just to give him a unit? And that's why to me, I'm just like, eh, take some mail. Meh.
So, all right, so yeah, sure, fair enough, absolutely.
Eh.
Here's my question for you then. Deathwing or Ravenwing?
It is so hard because I think the Deathwing Terminators are the best Terminators in the game. But I think that I would go Ravenwing.
See, I have to agree. I think Ravenwing are absolutely the better option just because of the fact that folding in the land speeders and the flyers gives you a lot more opportunity in your list as opposed to just playing
No, you
Terminators
know what it
with
is?
land
Standard of
raiders.
Devastation. Sacred Standard of Devastation is the sole reason to take a Ravenwing command squad, and it is the sole reason why Ravenwing wins.
All right, so we didn't really talk too much about the standards. We'll talk about them quite a bit more when we actually get into the strategy stuff, because that is where we start talking a lot more about the war gear and the fucking stupid ass displacement shields and shit like that. But we have a
Yeah, the displacement
lot.
shield was so weird. I was like, but why?
I was gonna say, wouldn't it be really funny to like put a displacement shield on like your Terminator company commander so that like when he gets hit and makes a save, he then displaces out of the shield wall and fucks your shield wall up.
See, what's funny about this is this, like, this is the only thing that could actually fuck you over because what if I'm shooting at you, your displacement field makes it, and then you scatter into my charge range. So I'm like, sweet, it was going to be a 10-inch charge. Now it's a 4.
Yes.
Thanks, asshole.
Well, it's pointless because again, who are you putting this on? A guy in a unit? Which independent character has this on them, right?
Well, even then, I was going to say, I think only Where the fuck is it even?
It's part okay. of special issue war gear.
Oh, displacer field, special issue. So yeah, the only asshole that can take it is your what? Your company master can buy special issue. Same with your interrogator chaplain. Or your chaplain, or your librarian.
It's dumb, is what we're saying.
Or temporary. Yeah. No, please, there's so few options to take it. And I think that, like the last book, Dark Angels are going to max out their HQs on named characters. You're not really going to see a lot of generic characters.
Right. Okay, so we kind of get to the end of the book here. We've got the points costs and the things that you're buying. It's very standard Marine for the most part. We get to the profiles page, which I actually quite like because it gives you a full fold out 3-page reference guide.
I thought that was fantastic.
Really great.
When I saw it, I was just like,
I love that they did it in heavy paper so that you could just take your X-Acto knife, cut this thing right out of your book and just use it as like, like a bookmark. Use it on the go. I think the fact that they give you all the special rules, the warlord traits, everything in it right there in front of you is exceptionally fantastic. So I was very happy to see that. I hope we see it in every single book going forward. Obviously, we didn't see it in the Chaos book, but this might have been something somebody came up with saying, we should just put everything on 3 pages at the back of the book. That's yep. gorgeous. Okay, so the rest of the layout of the book I found interesting because they did it in the Chaos book, but it was to a slightly different degree because of the nature of Chaos Space Marines. But when you see it applied in this book, you do actually start to feel a little bit more like 8th edition fantasy. And maybe that's a little broken record at this point, but they're giving you a lot of banners. They're giving you a lot of special war gear. They're separating the war gear quite substantially into very specific groups. They're breaking down this, down that.
Personally, I think it's just them going back to 3rd edition 40K because that's exactly how it used to be arranged. And then 4th edition tried to streamline the fuck out of it. And actually, what's funny and ironic is the Dark Angels Codex was actually the first codex in the new flavorless, watered-down style of codex writing that then had everything follow suit. So the Dark Angels Codex precluded a lot of the things that we saw in the Space Marine Codex, because really all Vanilla Marines were was refined Dark Angels, which pissed Dark Angel players off to the point where they're like, if I'm not playing pure Deathwing or pure Ravenwing, I might as well play Vanilla Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've come 180 and we're just saying like, hey, if you're just playing Vanilla Marines, play Dark Angels or you're stupid.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it's them imitating fantasy. It's them realizing that Alessio was wrong when he watered everything down.
That could very well be the case. Like I said, I think just the structure of it is a lot more specific to what we would have normally seen in 8th edition fantasy, in the sense that they're breaking everything down into these sections in terms of like war gear and units and special abilities and special units and kind of the way that it all functions. And it all works very, very well with the universal special rules that we have for 6th edition, the way that they're laid out in 6th edition. So all in all, I'm pretty happy with the book so far. I think time will tell. Obviously, we'll come back to it after a certain period of time. We'll come back and talk next week a little bit more about the actual tactics and list building that we would be using for this book. Nathan and I will talk about what we feel is going to make the best list.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to sit down and make pure Deathwing, pure Ravenwing, pure neither, or yeah. like pure like infantry actual.
I'm going to make
I'm going to make a best of all worlds kind of list.
Well, I was going to say I'm going to make an Emperor's Fist Army. Imperial Fist Army. But absolutely
the Imperial Fisted?
The Imperial Fisted. The Fallen Fists. Anyways, I think all in all, it's good. It's a good direction. I don't think that there's a whole lot of negative to come out of it other than a couple of weird, stupid rules and a couple of really ridiculous floating monasteries.
You know what? For me, it feels like a codex that is all good with no bad. I mean, when the only thing that we can do is make fun of how ridiculous Shieldwall is conceptually, that's a pretty good codex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think from a rules standpoint, like we said at the outset of this podcast, almost 2 hours ago at this point.
Wow, shit.
Yeah, we're at like an hour and 40 minutes at this point. But literally, you know, like we said, why would you play Vanilla Marines? There's really no reason. You should always be swapping yourself over to be playing Dark Angels at this point. I can't honestly see any competitive Space Marine player looking at their army and going, oh yeah, no, I'm going to stick with my old Vanilla Marines codex. I think everybody will be playing a modified version of Dark Angels. Interesting things to note, which we didn't actually see, which I wanted to point out, was flak missiles. Not on Cyclones. They weren't available as an upgrade.
Oh, see, again...
not available as an upgrade on the Whirlwind.
See, the Whirlwind doesn't surprise me.
Well, I thought we might see, like, an anti-air Whirlwind.
What, so that people would actually take a Whirlwind?
That's kind of what
I
was
aiming at. They've been making this tank for, like, 15 years, and I haven't seen anyone take it since.
That's pretty much what I was saying. But you do see it as the normal upgrade for, like, your standard Marine missile launcher for the anti-air flak missile. But really, you've got a flyer, so who gives a fuck?
Ah, but you know what, like I said, I don't think that this flyer should ever be hunting down other flyers, so I think that, honestly, Dark Angels are the only, well, not the only list, but I would say that unlike Chaos Space Marines that can get away with just using their stupid-looking dragon, I think that Dark Angels are going to want to take the...
We'll talk about that when we get into the tactics.
...the flak cannons. But anyway.
Flak cannon, sure, but we'll talk about that when we get into list tactics. We're gonna cut this fucking episode end here so that I can fucking edit this and go to bed. Because, you know, as Nathan said, he's gonna make sure he skips the Saturday recording to make me record on Sunday so that I'm then drunk and hungover on Monday morning.
Well, it's you can blame my wife for having a derby bout on Saturday this week.
And your power going out.
Well, yes, fuck.
I was just amazed that we were able to record for this long without your power going out again.
I have lived in this house for like 7 years, and that is the first power outage we've had that's lasted more than 5 minutes. So the fact that it was like 2 hours and 45 minutes was actually kind of amazing.
That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.